Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
All right, this week is the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, and I spent 35 years, I think it was, coaching touring pros and helping them prepare for majors. So I thought what I'd do today is talk about preparing for major championships. Now, there's a couple schools of thought. One school of thought is that you play the week before and you kind of play yourself into, you know, condition or play yourself into form so that you're ready to play in the major championship. Now, this was not the way that most players that I work with in my career did it. Certainly not the way that Tiger did it. Certainly not the way that Jack Nicklaus did it. They would generally take the week off before the tournament. The only exception to that when I worked with Tiger for 6 years was when they switched the date of the PGA Championship, and it just so happened that it was 1 week after the World Golf Championship event, which was at Firestone, and Tiger loved playing at Firestone because he always won at Firestone. And so that was the only exception. That was like the only time that he played the week before. And all the other times, it was 1 week of practice. Now, some players like to play. Mickelson likes to play typically, although he didn't play at Congaree. You know, I think a lot of people didn't play at Congaree because I don't think people knew what Congaree was. They'd never played there before. They didn't know the course. You know, different kind of grass, Bermuda grass golf course, totally different than what they're going to have at Torrey Pines. You know, so there wasn't much of a field there. I mean, really, when I was looking through it, I'm like, whoa, man, this looks like a mini tour event. I mean, this was like terrible. What a field. Of course, you know, the whole emphasis on the PGA Tour is to try to get playing opportunities. But I mean, I was looking through and seeing like how many top players played. Of course, Dustin Johnson played. Koepka, he played, missed the cut. You know, Dustin Johnson's number one in the world. Koepka's eighth. Then I looked at the next one was Tyrrell Hatton. And then Terry Hatton's 11th in the world. Tommy Fleetwood, 32nd in the world. Woo, man, 32nd in the world. Has he fallen off the map? I mean, it wasn't long ago he was like 10th or something. Other than that, I don't even know who the next highest ranked player was. I don't know who it would be, like Kevin Kisner or something. He missed a cut too. But I mean, it just, there's a nothing field. But Dustin Johnson, I mean, he had no top tens in his last seven starts going into Congaree. I mean, his last top 10 was a tied for eighth at Genesis. So I could see him, you know, wanting to play, try to get into some kind of form. He's from South Carolina. It's in South Carolina, you know. But I mean, that kind of made sense. And he likes to play. But I always thought, you know, that the thing was about preparing for a major. If you go and you play the week before and, you know, if you miss a cut, okay, that, you know, that wouldn't be like the worst thing, I wouldn't think, because you'd still have Saturday and Sunday to practice, and you'd probably practice because you were planning on playing anyway. So you'd practice on Saturday and Sunday, and it would give you and your coach, whoever your coach was, it'd give you an opportunity to figure things out, try to, you know, start hitting the ball better, start swinging better, start, get your confidence built up. And it's just a lot easier to build up your confidence during practice. I mean, it just is. I mean, there's no, you know, there's no pressure. It's, you know, you got a coach there with you. You're hitting a lot of balls, one right after another. You can kind of get something going. Matter of fact, I mean, in all the years that I coached touring pros, I never felt like I ever coached anybody that before a major championship didn't have, you know, something going. I mean, I didn't feel like there was ever a situation where I was helping somebody where I thought, oh boy, we're going to this major championship and this guy's got no chance. I mean, all the years with Mark O'Meara, all the years with Tiger Woods, I mean, I thought, you know, these guys, you know, they're looking good going into the major. I mean, they got a realistic chance at the, you know, at this upcoming major. So I just feel like, you know, you're going to gain confidence from practicing. You may or may not gain confidence from playing. And I kind of always thought that the best way was probably the Jack Nicklaus way. I mean, you know, there's a reason why Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods both like to play before majors and why they've, you know, won the most majors. I mean, that's just the fact. I mean, I always tell people, I say, you want to be successful at something? Find somebody that's successful and do what they do. It's a very, very simple concept. It works every single time, and it's called role modeling. Yeah, find somebody that's successful at something, do what they do, you'll get the same results they get. That doesn't mean you're going to win major championships, but I would say, follow what Nicklaus did. Follow what Tiger did. But I mean, anyway, some people have their own opinions. They want to do different things. A lot of times the European players, when they come to the United States, they want to play the week before. That way they're not just showing up and they're acclimated to the whole, you know, time change and the, you know, everything. And that makes sense to a certain extent. That's why through the years you've seen a lot of the European players, like when they come over for the Masters or the, you know, PGA or whatever, they'd play the week before. I mean, that was pretty customary. You didn't see it this much last week at Congaree for whatever reason, but that was a way that guys would prepare. I mean, when it goes the other way though, you would see some guys that would do it also. You know, when they went to the Open Championship, so they go over like through the years. There was always the Scottish Open was typically the week before the Open Championship, and there was players that would go over there and play the Scottish Open. But usually, it was the same guys that played the week before in the United States, like Phil Mickelson, you know, comes to mind, and Ricky Fowler would do that. I mean, you know, they would play in the Scottish Open and kind of prepare that way. But most of the players like to practice the week before. So, I think that's, pretty typical. I mean, Koepka, I'm not sure why he would have played last week other than, you know, just wants to get something going. I don't think him playing last week, missing the cut or whatever, I don't think that's going to bother him. I mean, he nothing seems to bother him. I mean, this guy, he one thing he's not short on is he's not short on confidence. Dustin Johnson, I don't think anything bothers him. I mean, he's pretty oblivious to everything. I mean, I don't think he's like thinking, hey, I missed, he didn't miss the cut, but I mean, he played okay. But I mean, it's just like, I'm thinking, you know, well, I mean, he played better than okay. But the fact is that he's not, you know, if he happened to have played bad, it wouldn't affect him. I mean, he doesn't, you know, he did nothing bothers the guy. I mean, he just like, hey, you know, next week, I'll do better. And he'll pick out everything he did good and he'll tell you he did good. And Koepka's going to do always the same thing. Koepka's going to, you know, he missed the cut last week. He tells you how, you know, it's just his concentration. He doesn't concentrate good on regular tour events, but you know, when it comes to a major, you know, he's right there from the start, and it's just his way of talking himself into being confident after, you know, coming off, you know, 2 days when he didn't really play good. So that's kind of what that looks like. All right, I'm going to go into talking about what a practice week would look like, you know, before the major and kind of what that would entail. I've got a lot of experience with doing that. So, might be interesting. We'll go through that when we come back. One thing that'll be interesting is if you want to get better golf, get my instructional videos at HaneyUniversity.com. Go there and check them out. You can just sign up. It's free. Just put your email address in and you'll start getting my instructional videos on a daily basis, and they're going to help you play the best golf of your life. I mean, that's what I'm hoping is going to happen, and that's what I think is going to happen. So HaneyUniversity.com. Go there and check it out. So the two main players that I would help prepare for major championships, you know, in my coaching career would have been Mark O'Meara, who was my student for, you know, like 25 or 30 years, and Tiger Woods. And you know, even though when I helped Mark, I helped, you know, a lot of other players on the PGA Tour, Mark was the one that I always concentrated on. I mean, he was my guy. I mean, without Mark O'Meara, nobody'd even know who Hank Haney was. So Mark was my guy. He was the one that I would focus in on. He was the one that I wanted to, you know, help, you know, get over the finish line with the major championship. And, you know, he was the top priority. I mean, that was, and then when I started helping Tiger, I mean, that, you know, that became the top priority. Mark was farther on in his career and had already won his majors. And, you know, then Tiger was like a full-time job. And he was the only one that I taught. When I taught Tiger, he was the only one that I taught. So all my focus was with him. You know, Mark and Tiger would both do similar things when it came to preparing for major champs. Of course, Mark was like the hardest practicer of anybody I've ever worked with and coached. I mean, you know, when I think about the hard practicers on the PGA Tour, I mean, there were times when Tiger really practiced hard, but, you know, he talked about it more than he did it. And I'm just saying, I feel like in my mind, from watching, you know, and I never saw him like in weeks off, but watching at tour events, I don't think anybody worked harder than Vijay Singh. And then from my experience helping over 200 touring pros, nobody worked harder than Mark O'Meara. I mean, they just didn't. Now, Tiger would practice hard. And if you add in all the gym time, which a lot of time I thought, you know, I was thinking this is pretty excessive, all this gym time. But if you add in the, you know, workouts and the this and the that, okay, yeah, then, you know, add that time to it. And it was, you know, pretty, you know, very, very substantial. But Tiger would practice really hard the week before a major. And usually it would start with like me going down to Orlando to work with Tiger. And, you know, I would probably get there, you know, Tiger would take off like 2 weeks before a major. You know, sometimes it was 1 week before a major. But usually it was 2 weeks before the major. So I would get down there maybe like, you know, the Saturday or the Sunday before the whole week prior to the major championship. And then it would be just like full grind every day. You know, no days off, you know, morning till night. I mean, you know, he would get up. I coined these Tiger days. I mean, he'd get up at, you know, he got up early. He didn't sleep much. He slept maybe 4 hours a night. So he'd get up at like, you know, 5 or 6 in the morning. He'd be at the gym and then, you know, a couple hours of workout and then back for breakfast. And then we'd be on the practice tee by, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning. And he would start off every time we went to the practice, he would start off with some kind of short game practice. And, you know, usually he would start off with pitching the ball. I mean, that's, you know, he'd hit short pitches, which I always like because a short pitch, in my opinion, you're working on the beginning of your full swing. So when you're hitting a short pitch, you're working on the beginning of your full swing. It's not a, you know, people are like, how do you hit this shot? Or, you know, what's wrong with my swing? I mean, the same thing that's wrong with your swing is what's wrong with your pitching game. The pitch swing is the beginning of your full swing. If you got a problem with your pitching game, you got a problem with the beginning of your golf swing. And so I liked when he would start off that way. And that was typically what he would do. It would, and then it would go from the pitching to, and it, we didn't usually mix sand shots in there. We just go from pitching to the full swing. And then, you know, he'd hit balls. You know, maybe there was putting in there somewhere in the morning for a little while, just kind of would depend how he was feeling. But you know, usually it went from pitching to hitting balls, and the hitting balls was always the same. Start off with a sand wedge, short iron, middle iron, changing targets on the driving range when he's hitting. And then, you know, longer clubs, longer club, and then, you know, eventually drivers, and then maybe working on some specific shots. Like if we was getting ready to play at the Open Championship, or we're getting ready to go overseas next week for that, you knew there's a really distinct possibility it could be windy, and you got to keep the ball down. So he'd practice all those stinger shots. If he was going to play Augusta, he'd put an emphasis on practicing some draws so that, you know, he could play the second hole and the 13th hole and the 9th hole. And, you know, you get so many holes at a 10th hole that you got to hit draws on. So he would practice those shots, practice hitting it high, certain shots that you might have that are point of emphasis on certain golf courses. And generally speaking, like either he knew the courses really well, or, you know, like a month or so before the tournament, he would have gone, and oftentimes I went with him. He would have gone to kind of scout out the golf course that he was going to play, just to get a feel for it, know the course better, and also know what kind of shots that, you know, might come into play on that golf course. But it would be hit balls in the morning after the pitch shots, hit balls, and then go play. And it would, you know, and I was always paying attention on the golf course to the shots that he was hitting. Of course, I wanted him to hit every single shot good, but I was really paying attention to the shots that were going to be necessary for playing the golf course that they were going to play. And, you know, if it's a U.S. Open, then, you know, you got an emphasis on driving the ball straight. If it's you know, at Augusta, you get emphasis on, you know, the shape and the shots, like you need to shape it to play the golf course, and so on and so forth. But you know, 9 holes, then that would take you up to lunchtime. And then, you know, it would be this same thing again, you know, either back to the range or play 9 more holes and then back to the range. But there was a second range session in there somewhere. And then it would be work on some short game. And then generally speaking, it would be end the day with putting. Now, you know, with Mark O'Meara, it wasn't maybe necessarily the exact same routine, but everything would be mixed in there. I mean, there'd be putting, there'd be chipping, there'd be playing. And, you know, it would just be like full grind every day the week before a tournament. I mean, they never felt like they had the luxury, you know, to take a day off. I mean, it just didn't happen. I mean, that, you know, it was a day off because they weren't under pressure. You know, it's different playing in tournaments than it is practicing. And they would just keep practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing. And, you know, it'd be like, you know, by the time the that week always went pretty fast. But by the time he got to the end of the week, you know, you're like, whew, man, you know, that was a good week of practice. And I always felt really confident with the players that I was helping. I mean, I always felt like, you know what, they're ready to go. They're ready to go there. And by the end of the week, I had it in my mind, you know, where their swing was, you know, what the hot points might be for me to look out for in terms of something that could go wrong. You know, because I was always thinking ahead. I was thinking, okay, well, you know, this is the shot that has me concerned, or, you know, the inability to hit this shot has me concerned, or, you know, I'm totally confident in this shot, you know, a high ball, but I'm not as confident in the low ball. So we got a few things we got to work on that, and just keep working on it, and we'll be there, you know, by the time that the tournament starts. What used to happen with most of the players is they would go to the tournament site, and the first day for the practice round would be Monday. And what changed somewhere along the line, and you know, Tiger, I think, had a lot to do with this, and it's the way that he got to doing it, is he would start going to the tournament and getting there on Sunday. So it would either fly in on Sunday or fly in on Saturday night, and then play a practice round at the tournament site on Sunday, because he liked to take off on Wednesday. I mean, he got where he didn't want to practice on Wednesday. He didn't want to play a practice round on Wednesday at a major championship. That would be more of a rest day. So what he would do is he'd play a practice round on Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, and then take Wednesday off. And you know, that was pretty much the routine at a major championship. Now Wednesday, he wouldn't take it totally off. He'd hit balls on Wednesday, and what he would do is he would hit balls on Wednesday at whatever time he was going to go to the driving range on Thursday. So in other words, if he had a late tee time on Thursday, and let's say his tee time was, you know, 1:30 in the afternoon, then he would have showed up at the driving range or the putting green to putt first. He would have showed up there at about 12 o'clock. And at you know, 12 o'clock on Thursday, that's when he's going to show up. So that's the time that we would practice on Wednesday. It would be at 12 o'clock. If he was going to tee off at 8:30 in the morning on Thursday, and he had an early tee time, because it either goes early, late, or late, early, you know, Thursday and Friday, that's how it goes. If he was going to tee off at 8:30 in the morning on Thursday, then we would get to the driving range or the putting green to warm up at 7 o'clock. And he would go through a warm-up routine, just as if his practice routine would be just like a warm-up, just like, okay, this is what it's going to be like tomorrow when I warm up for the tournament. So I'm going to take you through that what that warm-up routine is for a top player. Well, I'll take you through what it is, what it was for Tiger Woods. How about that? We'll do that when we come back. Let me remind you to get your Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. Aches and pains, arthritis, joint pain, muscle soreness. It's the best for it. Try it. It's absolutely free. Free 2-week supply. All you got to do is go to voodoopainrelief.com, and you can right there on the page, front page, just click on the box and you'll get your free 2-week supply of Voodoo Pain Relief Cream, and it'll help you. VoodooPainRelief.com. That's where you go. All right, the morning of a tour event. This is a tour event, major championship, doesn't matter, all the same. Let me take you through everything that's going to happen at the golf course. Now, generally at major championships, when it was Tiger, he would have his physical therapist there. So he would get up, he might have a workout, and he would have stretching and massage, and that would all happen before his going to the golf course. So if he had an 8 o'clock in the morning tee time, and that means that 8 o'clock in the morning tee time, he's going to be at the golf course probably at, you know, before seven to do his routine. And that means that he's going to eat and get stretched and get worked on with all his soft tissue work before he leaves. So, I mean, his day might have started at like 5:30. So it was a big day. I mean, there's no two ways about that. There's a lot of commitment. I mean, he's just not rolling out of bed and teeing it up, you know, at the U.S. Open. That's not the way. And especially at the 2008 U.S. Open, because, I mean, that's when he had the knee and everything. And there's a lot of work to be done just to get him going every day, to try to get the swelling out, keep the swelling down. a lot of massage, a lot of work to try to get the strength okay, and you know, as best they could. So there was a lot of work. But once he got to the golf course, it was typically the same routine. Tiger would always go to the putting green first, and he would hit putts. And the first thing he would always start off with every time was he would do his little drill. He calls it the gate drill. Two tees, a tee on the outside of the putter, a tee on the inside of the putter, just enough room for the putter to pass through. He'd be 3 feet from the hole on as straight a putt as he could get. I mean, he'd hit a few putts until he found the exact spot 3 feet away that was straight in. And then he would practice that little gate drill, and he would hit 100 putts in a row, and he hit them just with one hand. He always felt like the putter swung with his right hand, so he would hit like at least half of those first 100, and he'd putt till he hit 100 in a row, which, you know, was generally the first 100 he would hit. And he would hit those putts with one hand only. You know, try swinging in between that gate, that little gate, okay? Make a gate. A tee on the outside of the putter head, a tee on the inside of the putter, you know, just enough room for that putter head to pass through. I mean, you can barely see the space in between that putter and the tees. And one-handed, and never hit either tee. Never. I mean, it would never happen. And make 100 in a row, like every time, every day. Amazing. I used to watch that. And oftentimes I was the guy that fed the balls back to him. And I'm like, wow. I mean, it's just so consistent, just absolutely amazing. But he'd do that, and then after he got done with those 100 putts, and that would, you know, that honestly would only take like maybe 15 minutes max. And then, you know, he'd hit a few putts around the putting green, a few longer putts just to get the feel for the greens, and then it would be off to the practice range. And on the practice range, it was start off with the wedges first, like a 50, 60 yard shot. Once he, you know, he hit some of those, then he would lengthen it out with the sand wedge. And then, you know, short iron, maybe it was a 9 iron, maybe it was a wedge, maybe, you know, then 8 iron, you know, 7, 6 iron, whatever. 5-4, so, a 3-wood, and driver, you know, and then hit the driver, and then back down. Once he worked his way up to the driver, then he worked back down and, you know, hit some more irons. And then the last ball that he would hit leaving the driving range was always with whatever club he was going to use off of the first tee. This was something that was kind of, you know, unique about what he did. It was always whatever club he would use coming off the first tee. So if the first tee, like at Torrey Pines for the U.S. Open in 2008, you know, that was a 3-wood. He played 3-wood off that tee. So the last ball he'd hit on the driving range would be a 3-wood. If he was at Augusta, well, the last ball he'd hit on the driving range would be a driver. And he would treat it just as if he was on the tee. So he'd put his club in the bag, head cover on the club, and then he would take his club out of the bag, take the head cover off, hand the head cover to Stevie, tee the ball up, stand behind it, approach every shot from behind, and treat it just like it was the first tee shot. And generally speaking, that he would always hit that shot perfect. I mean, pretty much always hit it perfect. Now, there was, you know, maybe once or twice, I don't know, couldn't have happened very many times, it didn't, where it wasn't a good one and he'd do another one. That was probably a little bit of a red flag, but that rarely ever happened. I mean, he would just generally hit that shot absolutely perfect. He did hit every shot perfect at the warm-ups at the Torrey Pines for the 2008 U.S. Open. And then, you know what, double bogeyed, hit it left and double bogeyed the first hole 3 out of 4 days. Never missed a shot on the driving range, never hit one shot to the left, got on the first tee and hit it left three times. Man alive. But after that last tee shot on the driving range, then he would go to the pitching area, chipping area, sand, hit some sand shots, some pitch shots around the green. And, you know, chip shots, whatever shots, you know, I thought he might have, but always some pitches and always some sand shots, get a feel for the sand, and then to the putting green. And now, and since he'd already done his putting routine, now it was more just long putts, You know, I mean, there he practiced some makeable ones too, but not a lot of those. You know, makeable putt, 8 to 15 foot range, not a lot of those. Most of it would be the longer putts to get the feel for the speed, and then from there it was straight to the practice tee, and it was the most anticipated time, you know, that there was, because it was a major championship. And, you know, whenever any player I taught went to a major championship, after practicing for a week or 8 or 10 days before the major, I thought, oh my gosh, is this tournament ever going to start? And then you get to the major championship and you know, you got 3 or 4 days there practicing. And then finally, you get to tee it up on Thursday. And that's when all the pressure was, because the Thursday, you know, like I said before, that's, you know, you can't win on Thursday, but you can lose, and you want to get off to a good start. So that's the one thing I always look for at all tournaments, but especially major championships, and especially at the U.S. Open, like at Torrey Pines this week. I mean, that's the thing I look. You know, you got to get off to a start. Now, you know, Torrey Pines, you know, it's 3 par 5s. So, you know, I give you half a chance if you don't get off to a good start to maybe do something. But if you're going to do it, it better be on Thursday and or Friday, because if you wait too long, you're not catching up. There's no catching up at U.S. Opens. It rarely, if ever, happens. It's happened before, but it rarely happens. You got to get off to a start. And, you know, by the time you get to the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, that golf course is going to get a lot harder. Just always does. The pressure, the pin placements, the setup, the whole thing. You know, the greens getting firmer, faster. I mean, the USJ jacking around with the course like they do. So you got to make it happen on Thursday or Friday. That's the round, the Thursday round, where you feel like, you know what, I can't win it today, but I can lose it. That's the round that matters. You got to get off to a good start. You just absolutely have to get off to a good start in the U.S. Open. All right. Hope everybody enjoyed the podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Hank Haney. Email your questions and comments to hankhaneygolf@outlook.com. If you got anything you'd like me to talk about that you haven't heard me cover, that's the place to send me the message. HankHaneyGolf@outlook.com. Hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app. Get your free Voodoo Pain Relief Cream at voodoopainrelief.com. Get your free subscription to my emails at HaneyUniversity.com, my instructional videos. And we will talk to you again tomorrow on the Hank Haney Podcast. Hope everybody has a great day. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you then. The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.